I raise a hallelujah, and I raise a hallelujah as heaven comes to fight for me.
Lord, we're so thankful to be here today for your many blessings, for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing. Father, I pray now that there'd be a special anointing this morning, that ears would be attentive to what your voice is speaking, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I keep thinking, I don't know why, I keep thinking about when I'm hungry and when I'm really hungry and I get grouchy sometimes because I'm so hungry and I'm ready to eat, you know. But do you guys know anybody that they get so busy that they forget to eat sometimes? I know a few people like that. I'm never that busy. I'm always, if I'm busy, then I'm just getting hungrier. But I was thinking about that in the spiritual sense also. I know many of you that are here this morning just put on a beautiful wedding yesterday, and you've been busy and you've been busy and you've been busy, and maybe you haven't had time to eat properly. But then I know other times that we're so full. Hayden's birthday was a week ago, and we had so many desserts. And it's like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna, and they're all good, but I'm getting fat as it is, and so all these desserts, and I'm like, I can't keep eating all these desserts. They're for Hayden, but he ain't gonna eat them all. He's good with if he eats or not. He's not like his daddy, you know. But all these desserts, and I'm sitting here looking at all these wonderful desserts, but I'm so full, they don't even look good. And I think many times we come to church and we're so full that hearing the Word of God, yeah, it's okay, but we're really not taking it in. We're really not hungry for what God has to say. And you guys think you don't do that? I know when you're doing it. I see the as you're listening, it's like you're ready to slap yourself. I see the counting the beans on the ceiling, and sometimes we're just not hungry. But my prayer is this morning, I will preach fast if you listen fast, and that you will be hungry for the Word of God this morning and what the Lord might be speaking to you. And I'm going back in the Old Testament, and it seems like I go in stages. It's like New Testament for weeks or months, and then all at once I'm back in the Old Testament. I'm back in the Old Testament and New Testament today. But I want to go to Exodus 20 and talk about the Ten Commandments just a little bit, okay? Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." I just wanted to read these first few commandments, and I'm going to keep going here, but I wanted to stop here because it's just for a moment. This isn't the message, but y'all, it's become so common for people to misuse God's name. There's posters and things of OMG. People put it on their cell phone. OMG. Oh my God. And they don't even think about that they're using God's name in vain there. And we have these sayings and we have these slangs and we text stuff and we don't even think about it. But I encourage you right now to be mindful of keeping God's name in the proper place and using it in the proper way. That's not the message, but it really bothers me some of the things that I see young people using and posters and things that people are saying. And I think, do you not even realize what you're saying? And I think oftentimes they don't. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your manservants or maidservants, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. One of the things that I see taking place is the Sabbath day has become just another work day. It really bugs me. The companies, and the company that I work for is one of them that now treats Sunday as just another day out making deliveries and doing things, and it's just become another day. Y'all, we need to remember the Lord on the Sabbath and honor God with that. Now, we're not getting into all that either, but what I really want to talk to you guys about is about you shall have no other God before Him. You shall not make an idol. And as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how many of us are living our lives with idols, and we may not even realize it. How many of us are living our lives every day, and we have these idols in our lives. We have these things that consume us. We have these things that we think about, these things that we work for, these things that we honor, these things that we take serious, these things that come before God. Jump over a few chapters in Exodus 32. So Moses is up getting the laws, getting the commands. And what's the people doing? Well, we're about to see. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Can I tell you something? I see people that pray about something, and they pray about something, and when they don't get the answer they want, they take matters into their own hand. When it's not fast enough, when it's not moving fast enough, they say, "Well, God must not be listening, or this must not be God's will for my life." And all at once, they take things into their own hands, and that's what these people were doing. We don't know where Moses is at. He's a long time. What we need to have something tangible, something in front of us, something that we can see. Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your son, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol, cast it in the shape of a calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then he said to them, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." And you say, "Pete, that's not us. I ain't seen anybody with a golden cow in their yard in forever. I don't know." It still happens. Sometimes on Thursdays, not every Thursday, but sometimes on Thursdays, they have a deal at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I like Buffalo Wild Wings. And so when I leave work, I'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings for the sale. And I hit these back roads from where I work to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And not too far from my work, there is a Buddhist temple. And they have statues all out in the yard. It was a house that's been converted. And I don't know anything about the Buddhist. I don't know much about it. But they have these statues all out in their yard. We think this stuff don't happen today. It's still happening. You guys might say, "Well, you know, for me, I would never bow down to a golden calf." But I've been guilty of this myself. I'm not pointing fingers, but people with a really nice vehicle. People with an old classic car, old classic truck, and it becomes their idol. It becomes what they're all about. our homes and our things, and it becomes such an idol. It becomes what we're all about. It becomes what we worship. We might not worship it in the sense of praying to it, but it consumes our thoughts. It consumes our time. Here they fashion this golden calf, and he's saying, these are the gods that brought you out. Verse 5, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down before your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, he says how quickly they've turned away, how they're stiff-necked people. And I was thinking, how quickly things can consume us. Things can grab us. Things can take hold of us. We left the wedding yesterday and got down the road and I got to where I don't even like watching football because it's stupid. And it's stupid because I get upset about it. And it's like, that's so dumb, Pete. It doesn't even matter who wins, who loses. And I would rather not even watch the games or I don't even want to hear about them really. Well, I get going down the road and my phone starts going off and it's my brother texting me how the Arkansas Razorbacks are doing. And then all at once, here comes the score. Oh, and now we're down and they just score. And then we got 2 minutes to drive the length of the field. And then I'm all in knots and I'm thinking about this stupid football game. And we won. Woo! <No. laughs> But y'all, Crystal make fun of me, and I'm getting better, I promise I'm getting better, but she's like, I'll get in a bad mood when they lose. Why? It's so stupid, it's the dumbest thing. But I just come from a beautiful wedding that was centered on God and marriage to being upset over a football game that I have no interest, no part in it all. How quickly your mind can go to something else. And that's the point. We might not be fashioning an idol in the form of a cow, but how quickly we can, our thoughts can be consumed with things other than God, things other than our Savior. Jump down to verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? He says, do not be angry, my Lord. Aaron answered, you know how prone these people are to evil. He wasn't taking any responsibility. You know how they are. You know how they are. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Church, I see the impatience in my own life. And I see how quickly I can be led astray when things aren't happening the way that I think they should, when things aren't happening in my time. And how quickly I think you guys can do the same thing is we've been praying about something, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, maybe a few years, but we say, God hasn't come through, so I'm just going to take matters into my own hand, and we chase after things that we know we have no business chasing after. So I told them, whoever has any gold earrings, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. What a lie. It just appeared. It must be a god. I just threw it all in the fire and up jumped this calf. We say, well, how ridiculous is that? And we look back and we can read this and we can say they're so crazy. But do we not manipulate things in our minds to fit our desires and what we want? I think I just told you guys this story recently, but the way that that 72 Chevy truck that I wanted so bad, and I justified getting it in my mind, and by the time I hadn't even got 2 miles from picking it up, it broke down on me. Overheated. And I had prayed and set all this up. God, this must be your will. Everything's working out. When it was not God's will, I don't think it was my desire to have what I wanted. These people wanted something right then instead of waiting. Out comes this golden calf, he says. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. And as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about how many of us are stiff-necked, how many of us are quick to turn away, how many of us, we really have no patience in waiting on the Lord and the Lord's timing, and we have these idols in our life, and we have these things in our life, and we say, I gotta have this, because that will make me happy. I gotta have that, because that will fulfill me. I've got to. And quickly we're turning away and chasing after things. But whoever is for the Lord, come. Whoever is for the Lord, come. And quit putting idols in front of us. Colossians 3, verse 1. If anybody wants to turn there, I'll give you just a second. Colossians 3, 1 says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We've got all these idols in the world. We've got all these things in the world that we want, that we desire. It's like how quickly things can grab my attention. I don't think I told you guys this. I think I might have told the men's group this, but I was delivering to a car dealership the other day, and they had one of those brand new Ford Broncos sitting out front. Man, it's pretty. It's nice. And it got my mind, wonder if I could afford one of those. I went to looking them up. Well, if I did this and if I did that, it'd be tight, but man, and if I traded in Crystal's car, then she'd have to drive it, but then, you know, then we might get it. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Is the brand new Ford Bronco the things above? No! It's the things that Pete wants. It's what the flesh desires. It's what will grab me if I'm not careful. And see, many of us live our lives not even giving a second thought. We see something, we want it. So we make a way, we buy it. We don't give a second thought to that could be an idol. That could be something that we have no business messing with. No, we see it, we want it, we'll get it. We don't even realize that it's grabbing our heart, it's grabbing our affections other than God. I knew a guy, and I've told you all this story before too, that had a wife and 2 little kids, and he wanted a new truck so bad, he became a waiter at a restaurant on nights and weekends so he could make the payment on this truck. So he's working his full-time job. He was a supervisor at this pretty big business. I think he made good money. And then 2 or 3 nights a week and Saturdays and Sundays, he was waiting just so he could have this truck. Where's time for your family? Where's time for God? That truck had become an idol. That's what he wanted, and that's what he made a way to get. You have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Because where does it begin? It begins a battle with the mind. Where is my mind taking me? What are the things that my mind is corrupting that I might desire? For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. How many of us are chasing after the things of this world and we have these idols, these things that are so important to us? It could be sports. It could be wealth. You know what else could be an idol? Education. Chasing after education, that getting that education is more important than anything. An idol could be your family. Now, can I tell you something? There's all kinds of commandments in here about taking care of your family, loving your family, providing for your family. And I'm not saying to hate your family, but your family can become an idol. And doing things for the family, marriage, to get married, to be married, to find someone to marry. It can become an idol that you think your fulfillment, that you think your happiness can come in that. Entertainment can become an idol. All you live for is vacation. All you live for is a weekend. All you live for is for the video games. Whatever. It can become an idol. Even the church can become an idol. I know people that will talk all day long about their church and how wonderful it is, but you never really hear them talk about God. You never hear them talk about Jesus. I mean, I'm thankful for this building, but we're the church, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are here. But if we got to watch that it don't become about the people sitting next to you in the pew instead of about God. Food can be an idol. All you think about is food, what you're making, what's the next meal, and where you're going to eat at. All those things, it's the things that have grabbed hold of us. It's the things that we are worshiping. Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to somebody or to someone to obey him, as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So can I ask you, what has your time? What has your affections? What have you surrendered yourself to? What are the things that occupy your mind, that occupy your thoughts? And I want to go back because I was thinking about Solomon, the wisest man in the world, the wisest man to ever live. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. He says, now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So he's asking God for wisdom. That's a great thing. And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and command, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. So he's saying, I'm going to bless you with the wisdom that you asked for. And then all the things that you didn't ask for, I'm going to give you also. But you need to remember my commands. You need to remember me. You need to honor me. You go over to chapter 11. And what happens? 11:1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." The wisest man in the world, the wisest man to ever live, warning, don't mess with those women. Don't intermarry with them. They're going to turn your hearts away. You guys might say, well, we don't have multiple wives now. I don't have to worry about that. But can I tell you something? For many of us, we're messing with the world. And we're messing with the things of the world. And it's drawing us away. It might be your television. It might be your video games. It might be your movies. It might be the car dealership looking at the new Ford Broncos. I don't know what it is. It might be your sports. It might be the sports that your kids are in. It might be the Razorbacks. It might be the NFL. But we're messing with things. It's going to turn our hearts away from God. And it can become an idol. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives, a royal birth, and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his hearts after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. And that was the thing that I wanted to read there, is because how many of us, our heart is not really fully devoted to God anymore because we've got this idol? I don't know what your idol is. I mean, it doesn't have to be a golden calf. It doesn't have to be the big bank account. It might be something that you think will bring you fulfillment, that will bring you satisfaction. It might be something that has your heart and your affection. And Solomon, after all this, in Ecclesiastes, what does he say? In Ecclesiastes 2:10, he said, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my works, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." What did he realize? All those things that he thought would bring him pleasure, all those things that he thought would bring him happiness, it didn't. Have any of y'all ever bought a new car and you had it the first month, you were still real happy. The second month, you were still kind of excited. By the third month, when you were making that payment, you go, "What did I do? Why did I buy this?" Maybe it's not a new car you bought. Maybe it's something else. But you tried to achieve a certain thing, and you thought that it would bring you joy. You thought that it would bring you happiness. You thought that it would bring you fulfillment, just like Solomon here. And then you realize it's just a chasing after the wind. Nothing is bringing me that fulfillment. Nothing is bringing me that joy, that satisfaction. At the end of Ecclesiastes in 12:13 and 14, he says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." That's it. Fear God and keep His commandments. The wisest man in the world says, I've chased after all this pleasure. I've done all these things, but nothing brought me joy. Nothing brought me satisfaction. There's things in your life that can bring you that temporary peace, that temporary joy, that temporary satisfaction, but nothing. A husband, a wife, a kids, a promotion, a new house, a new car, nothing can bring you the peace that knowing Jesus can, that following His commands can. But we're chasing after these idols. We're chasing after all these things. In 1 Corinthians 10, I know sometimes We have to learn things for ourselves, don't we? Sometimes, have anybody ever given you good advice, but you didn't listen? And then a few months down the road or a few years down the road, you look back and go, wow, I wish I'd have listened. I sure wish I wouldn't have done that. I sure wish I wouldn't have done this. My dad was right. My mom was right. Whatever. Grandpa was right, you know. And you hear that advice later, but you kind of had to learn for yourselves. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, it says, now that all these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting on our hearts on evil things as they did. See, that's the real question today, is what's your heart set on? I mean, really, what's your heart set on? Do not be all idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angels. These things happen to them as an example and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. These things were written down as examples to us. But do we heed the example? Do we listen to the warnings? Or do we just lay it aside and say, I know best. I know. I know that if I could just get this, if I could just have that, I'll have peace, I'll have joy, then I'll follow God. You shall have no other gods before me. How many of us have other gods before us right now? How many of us, our heart has turned to something else? How many of us have become those stiff-necked people and we have no patience and we say, God's been a long time coming, so I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I'm not waiting for God to provide. I'm taking matters into my own hand. Stiff-necked people. Last verse is here, Matthew 16:24-28. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. That's whatever idol you may have. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about times in my life that I've been excited for something to happen. Times in my life that, you know, you can't wait for vacation. You can't wait for something. And then it happens and it goes by so quick and then you're just kind of left. You know, we as a society, we don't like to wait on anything. I mean, I don't. I get frustrated if McDonald's takes more than 3 minutes and it's like, you know, they got to cook the burger and fry the fries and it's like, I'm ready to eat. You know, let's go, let's move. You know, I'm just, but I was thinking about how many people live a life of saying, well, I'm just living for today. For tomorrow I might die. I'm just living for today. So I'll go in debt. I'll go to the sports. I'll go and do all this and the heck with the consequences. We can deal with that tomorrow. But church, we're to be followers of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Sometimes being a follower of Jesus Christ, it's that peace that we have today, but it's not the promise of rewards. It's not the promise of riches. It's not the promise of an easy life. But someday that's coming. If we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him daily, that's coming someday when we're at the end of our life and they're standing over our grave, then I promise you, not 5 seconds after you're dead, you're not going to regret anything you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you live a selfish life full of idols and full of things that you think will bring you peace, will bring you contentment, you'll stand before the Lord someday and have to answer for it. Let's lay down our idols and let's deny ourselves and begin to follow Jesus with all of our heart. Y'all, I'm not immune from the idols. I got to go home and I got to pray. And I got to get my mind right. And I got to say, Lord, what really matters? And I promise you, 99.9% of the time, the moment of temptation in the flesh when I get alone with Jesus, He takes it away. And I get my perspective right and I get my life back right. And I understand what matters. And it's not in the abundance that you have in earthly possession. It's the abundance that you have in following Jesus Christ and obeying His commands and obeying His will for your life. Let's stand. Father, I pray right now, Lord, if there's any in here that You brought to their mind of things that have come before You in their lives, of idols that they've set up. Maybe they didn't even recognize it before this moment. Maybe it's the promotion. Maybe it's the education. Maybe it's the wealth. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's Little League. I don't know what it is, but Father, You know. And I pray right now that if anything has been brought to anyone in here's mind that has become an idol in their life, that right now that they would ask for forgiveness, that they would repent of it, that You would bring about deliverance, and that for each and every one of us, we would only put You first. Lord, that we would seek You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Father, that we would truly be Your disciples. And the way that the flesh rages war against us, the way that the mind seems to drift sometimes, may we take every thought captive. May we not be a stiff-necked people that turn so quickly away. But may we seek Your guidance each and every moment of each and every day. Lord, may Your will be done now. In each and every one of our lives. Forgive us for the idols that we've made. And may we repent and turn of that now. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Life goes quick. Don't let anything stand in the way of you being obedient to Jesus Christ.
As the panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You to You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You're my friend, and You are my brother, even though You are a king. I love You more than any other, so much more than anything. My spirit yield. to worship thee.
I just want to remind y'all, not everything that seems good is always good. When I was a young man, just getting started off in life, I had talks of taking a job, a promotion in Louisiana. Didn't take it. If I'd have took that, I wouldn't be here today. You know, sometimes it's things like this promotion and this thing, it might seem like a good thing, but it's not always a good thing. Sometimes it is. So don't misunderstand me. Sometimes God opens the door and you're to step through and God's going to bless you mightily. But sometimes it's not. And we got to be careful. I had a regional safety guy who really liked me, and he was a good Christian man. And we rode around talking before, and he had warned me about taking promotions and taking jobs at different opportunities of my life when it's come open. And he said, I've had friends, and he said they chased after it, and they've moved four or five times, and they moved their family four or five times. And he said they're divorced now, and their kids are on drugs, and their life's a mess. But boy, they've got a big job title and a lot of money. He said, I went a different route, and he warned me. Be careful what you're chasing after. Be careful what you're chasing after. Chase after Jesus Christ. Don't set any idols before you, okay? Y'all have a blessed afternoon. I was going to give you a heads up. I hadn't told anybody, but I'm thinking next Sunday night we may have a singing here and just a time to come together and pray. Open up the hymnals, open up the musicians, and just sing and just have a good time. I hadn't talked to any of the musicians, so I don't even know if that's going to be something possible. But that's kind of what I'm thinking next Sunday night. We haven't had a prayer meeting in a while. Come together and pray and just have a time of singing and everything. So if you guys can come, that's the tentative plan. I'll let you know next Sunday morning for sure. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.